Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Ohio Christian schools win against COVID restrictions. We're going to be talking about this case on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, this case is brand new, coming from what's called the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. It is headquartered in Cincinnati, but it governs not only Ohio, but other surrounding states like Kentucky and Michigan. This Court of Appeals has now granted an injunction pending appeal to allow a Christian school to resume in-person activities on campus. And Holly, this case involves a Christian academy called Monclova Christian Academy, which is a ministry of Monclova Road Baptist Church, which is a private Christian school in Monclova, Ohio.
Yes, you know, back in December, the health department decided they would establish a resolution and close every school in the county that's public, private, parochial for grades 7 through 12. And can you imagine these kids not being able to meet in person? And they have, you know, other activities after school as well. Those were all shut down. But yet, in the same county, you had gyms, tanning salons, office buildings, and even a large casino were remained open.
Yeah, and so Monclova Christian Academy filed suit, arguing that the closure of their schools amounts to a prohibition of religious exercise in violation of the First Amendment.
Which it does.
It does, yeah. And so
they're right.
What the argument was from the health department was that, well, you can actually have certain ceremonies on campus, and maybe you could even have religious instruction. So you could go there for your Bible course, but you can't have anything else. So, well, maybe your Bible course, I don't know how many Bible courses they have throughout a week, but it would only be, say, one class perhaps a day. So you can go there for that, but you can't go there for anything else. And they argued that, well, this is an integrated school. Christian teachings in the Bible is integrated in all of the subjects, and it's all essential. And you can't just simply pick and choose and bifurcate like that. And the government has no right to be able to do that. And in fact, the Court of Appeals agreed and says, yes, that's true. And it is error for a government or for a court to ultimately say that you can do this, but you can't do that. We're going to make a decision as to what is essential in your worship and your religious assembly.
Right. Just like with our church cases, I mean, you can't discriminate against one and say it's okay to have casinos or tanning salons or whatever open, but yet close worship centers or facilities or churches or houses of worship, all those things. You can't discriminate against that.
And the court also noted that the school employed strict social distancing and hygiene standards, and that there was little school in-person transmission that had been documented. And in fact, even experts have said that the safest place for these young people to be is school.
Yeah, most children are getting this, you know, because they have good immune systems.
And they're young.
They need to be
even
socialized.
Even those that get it, it's more like a flu to them.
Right.
And so there's no reason to close down these schools. In this particular situation, too, we see a consequence. And we warned about this last year, early on in March. We warned what was coming. And what was coming was pretty obvious. If you just know human nature, you know a little bit about human, you know, behavior and have a little spiritual insight. You start shutting down the churches. You start closing people in their homes. And you start ultimately threatening them with insecurity, their jobs, and so forth. All of the social ills are going to increase. And for the young people, what we've seen is a dramatic increase in depression and even, unfortunately and tragically, suicide.
Yeah, we had one case in Maine not long ago, and then you just shared today with me another one in New Mexico. I mean, this is just heartbreaking to see these kids suffering this way.
And these are not just anecdotal things where you can say, well, you got that story here and that story there. these are studies as well.
Oh, yeah.
Studies both in the United States and in the United Kingdom that have studied individuals from 7 years on older, and that this isolation, when the schools are closed down, they feel isolated.
Of course.
And when you look at this, some parents, how are they going to do this online education? Because say, for example, let's just take a single parent situation. And now the single parent has a couple of children, different ages, never homeschooled before. And now the schools are closed, but they have to go to school. So there's nothing available, and they have to do online. And assume that they're in a public school or even a private school. Many of these schools, whether public or private, they were not and still are not prepared for the online education component. So what if this a single parent obviously has to work? What does she do or he do with the children during the day?
Or even many couples both have to work.
And yeah, then you spread it out to a married couple with children and they both have to work. What are they going to do?
Right.
And in their case, they're working in, quote, essential jobs, so they have to be there. What are they going to do with the kids? They going to hire somebody to come over and spend all day with them?
Right.
That's expensive. And then if one of them stays home, it's a huge financial impact. Or if the single parent is in a situation where you have to choose between staying home and no work or going to work and no school, what do they do?
Right. And these are your children. They're not just like some extra arm or something you can put somewhere in a closet. You know, these are your children.
Yeah. And so it's a real problem as a result of what's happened here. And then what happens is the kids then, in fact, there's a child that I haven't met, but I have a friend, and it's actually my niece. And my niece is like a grandmother, if you will, like an aunt, if you will, to this one child. Since this child was very, very young. And the parent of that child now, because my niece is not high on wearing masks, and the mother of this girl that kind of grew up with my niece is very much afraid of COVID and very much wearing masks and so forth. And now she won't allow my niece to come and visit this little girl. And in fact, one time there was they were together, probably one of their last times, and the little girl was wanting to run up to hug her, and the mom said, no, 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 the world is sick. You have this kind of, you know, you may not be doing that in your family, but you have to understand what's going on with people's families. And here's this little girl now being raised in an environment where the mom is so afraid that you can't touch anybody because the world is sick.
She's projecting
you
that
fear. You
cannot
go outside of your home. Ugh. She's worried about the fact that the child is very restless. And my niece says, well, it's no wonder. She won't let her go out of the home. She won't take her to the grocery store. She's afraid to take her out. She's not going to school. She's doing online. So she has no social interaction. She has no interaction anymore with her support group, even my niece. What ultimately happens when this happens, and one of the cases in Maine was this 16-year-old boy. He was on the football team, and that was part of his social interaction. And when all of this was shut down, all the sports were shut down, he's at home, he has to stay there, can't go out. He then starts to get depressed. He doesn't exercise anymore, and he ends up taking his life. Mm-hmm. And that same thing is worked out over and over again in alarmingly high numbers. Churches need to be open. Schools need to be open, particularly the Christian schools. They need to be open. And certainly churches can help families. It's a great opportunity for churches to help families to homeschool, put them into a proper homeschool environment for those that are able to do it. It's not possible for everybody, but for those that are able to do it. And homeschool right now is, in fact, exploding. Because families have been pushed into homeschool, and now they realize that they can do it, some of them, and they also realize the junk that the kids were getting in public school.
Right. You know, that's the beauty of church, Matt. You have community. You have, you know, those who can support you come together and maybe take turns homeschooling the children or whatever, but you have that support. And that's so important versus isolating yourself and trying to do everything on your own is not healthy.
God made us for fellowship.
Exactly.
God made us for fellowship. And when you start to isolate people, you end up having problems. So this is a great victory for these Christian schools in Ohio. There's going to be more of these kinds of cases coming down the pipe. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. Support the ministry in your prayers, and you can also go to Liberty Counsel's website for a lot of resources and up-to-date information around the country, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. Call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.